This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisen. It's 7:35 in the morning, Tuesday the 3rd of December. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill where Wang Xiaoning, you'll be speaking with the notable economist, Professor Jomo Kwame Sundaram.
Yeah, I'm going to ask him some interesting questions because the world appears to be in a flux. I mean, we have global growth slowing, inequality with the lack of social mobility is rising, and we can see some hotspots around the region like in Chile and in Hong Kong. And to make things worse, there is this backdrop of climate change and increased geopolitical tensions. So what does this mean for the world and also for us, Malaysia? And are we doing enough to mitigate these headwinds?
So that sounds like it's going to be a fascinating conversation. Be sure to catch it after the 8 o'clock news. In the meantime, though, taking a look at some international headlines for you today. Qatar's foreign minister made an unannounced trip to Riyadh last month to meet with top Saudi officials. Now, this was a diplomatic breakthrough that signalled the most serious effort yet to end a 2.5-year rift between the two oil-rich nations. So for more on this morning, we have on the line with us Professor James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute, Singapore. Thank you for joining us, James. Now, but before we move any further, give us a bit of background on this. Why were diplomatic ties severed between Saudi Arabia and Qatar in the first place?
Well, both primarily the United Arab Emirates, actually, and with it Saudi Arabia, objected to Qatar pursuing an independent foreign policy. And that was a foreign policy in their mind that supported the popular Arab revolts we've seen in the Middle East, that supported Islamist forces that both Saudi Arabia and the UAE had declared terrorists as part of those uprisings and also elsewhere in the region. But what it really was about was it was a period in which the Gulf states, and particularly again Saudi Arabia and the UAE, were pursuing a much more robust, go-it-alone, almost reckless foreign policy. And that is a policy that has failed. And so you see now, on a number of fronts, that the Saudis, the Emiratis have patched up their, to some degree, their differences with the Iranians. But the Saudis on multiple fronts, whether it's Qatar, whether it's Iran, whether it's Yemen, are trying to find a way out of the crisis because they no longer feel that they can rely on the United States as a guarantor of their security.
And Professor, so what you mentioned some things earlier, but what do you think has been the reason for a shift or de-escalation of tension between these two Gulf states, i.e. Saudi Arabia and Qatar, in the recent months? Has it got anything?
Let me just say one thing before I answer your question. I don't know for a fact that the Qatari foreign minister traveled to Riyadh. And the reporting on it raised more questions than it gave answers. What I do know for a fact is that Kuwait and Oman have been trying to mediate a resolution to the crisis between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. And they seem to be making some very slow progress, one being what you saw last week and this week, the participation of the Saudis, the Emiratis, the Bahrainis, and the participation of their national soccer teams in the Gulf Cup, which is being held in Qatar at the moment.
So why do you think there's been a shift or de-escalation of tension between these Gulf states than in the recent month? Has it got anything to do with the drone attacks on Aramco facilities in Saudi?
I think it has to do with two things. One is indeed the attacks in September on two key Saudi oil facilities. But the other is much more fundamental in a lot of ways, and that is that the United States no longer is a reliable partner. The Saudis and the Emiratis believe that was already the case under President Obama, but they've certainly seen that under President Trump. And if you look at President Trump's response to the attacks on the oil facilities in September, his response was very clear. This was not an attack on us. This was an attack on the Saudis. We're happy to help the Saudis, but they will have to pay. With other words, it was very transactional. You want to pay us to provide you security? Sure. It was not a commitment as it had existed over the last several decades.
So with all that, taking all that into consideration, are you optimistic that, that both Saudi Arabia and Qatar will find a way to bridge the divide here?
I think it's going to be tough. And I think you're already seeing that it's tough. So with other words, you've seen the Saudi defense minister travel to Oman, the Saudi national security advisor travel to Oman. The Qataris are close to the Omanis. But, for example, the expectation that the Gulf Football Cup would be an opportunity to lift the air embargo, because all air and transportation links between the various countries have been frozen. That didn't happen. Now, there is, in a sense, a deadline, and that is there is a scheduled meeting of the Gulf Cooperation Council, which groups the six oil-rich monarchies in the Gulf. The foreign ministers of the Gulf Cooperation Council are supposed to meet on December 10 in Riyadh. That would mean that the Qatari foreign minister would be part of that meeting. It's not the first time that the Qataris would be attending a GCC meeting in Saudi Arabia since the boycott was imposed in 2017. But that would take on added significance in this environment in which there's an effort to try and roll tensions back.
And Professor, just taking this a little bit wider, what do you think about the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Iran? Has that improved too? Because that does change how things are in the Middle East, right?
It's fundamental to how things are in the Middle East. There's no indication that that the efforts to try and reduce the tension have gone anywhere real. I mean, there's been what you have seen is that the proxy war, with other words, the war in Yemen, the Houthis and the Saudis are coming to arrangements. You've gotten far less Saudi bombings at the moment. You've also had a halt to Houthi rebel missile attacks on the kingdom. And the rebels are supported by Iran. But fundamentally, nothing has really shifted yet.
All right, and thank you very much, James. And that was Professor James Dorsey, Senior Fellow at the S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies and the Middle East Institute, Singapore. And so very interesting what's been happening here. But just looking at some of the reporting that has come out over this Saudi Arabia-Qatar meeting or alleged meeting, James actually doesn't necessarily think, hasn't seen evidence that this is actually happening. But as he mentioned, there is a deadline of sorts. So December 10th, the Gulf Cooperation Council. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that and how relations kind of change as a result of that, as a result of that meeting.
Yeah, what he pointed out was that they can't depend on the US anymore, right? Already relations between the Gulf states or Saudi Arabia and President Obama was looking less reliable, and now even more so.
Yeah, I mean, it's very like a sequence of events, right, to show Trump's hand. So you had the drone attacks on the Aramco facilities. Shortly after that, did you see US come out in support? Not so much. And in fact, the conversation flipped to how much money should Saudi spend on military weapons coming out of mm-hmm. America. So, you know, if you don't have US support, then you better, what were your previous enemies might have to be your new allies.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.